You're listening to Get Out and Drive Podcast with John Custom Car Nerd Meyer and Sean Mr. Sedan Man Cheryl. We'll be bringing you gearheads all the information you never wanted to know about cars and why they should be on the road and not in your garage. Are you ready to get out and drive?
Hey, we're back with another episode of Get Out and Drive Podcast. I am Sean, Mr. Sedan Man Cheryl.
I am John, Custom Car Nerd Meyer.
Hey, John, you know, trucks have really been taking off here lately, it seems like. Old trucks, newer trucks, OBS trucks, Chevy trucks all over the place. It's just people are coming out of the woodwork here lately. Building these things and driving these things.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting really be a kind of a community.
Oh, it is. It is.
It's like everybody's united by trucks.
It is kind of like united by trucks.
Hey, speaking of that.
Yes.
Today, we got Robbie Purser from United by Trucks with us. How you doing, Robbie?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for spending some time with us on our podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So you have a YouTube channel and other social media, United by Trucks.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. Can you kind of give us an overall view of that, if you would, please?
Yeah,
no problem. So United by Trucks is something that I started alongside my friends about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's a YouTube channel. It's Instagram. It's Facebook. And we're basically just highlighting our road trips in classic trucks, our builds with classic trucks, filming and profiling other classic trucks when we go to shows, and generally just trying to have a good time with our friends as it relates to classic trucks. So, like I said, we've been doing this for about a year and a half, and it's, you know, myself and a whole crew of other people. I just happen to be the guy that's doing a lot of the filming, doing a lot of the editing, and, you know, pulling everybody together. But this takes a huge crew of folks to pull off. And we love trucks, so that's really what it's all about.
Well, that's great. Yeah, we certainly do. Also, I don't know if you've tripped over Sean's truck. It is Saddle Tramp.
Yeah,
truck we built a couple of years ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago now.
And very cool. Remind me about it.
It's a 68 C10. It's a saddle color, white.
Yeah.
We dropped it down. It was a long bed. We cut it down to a short bed. Reliable, stock 327, just reliable. We could get out and drive in and enjoy.
Yeah. So, yeah, full windows, and we make sure that we're always out somewhere. I know COVID's kind of put a damper on everything lately, but we had it last year down at the C10 Tennessee show.
Yeah,
Southeastern Tennessee show. I think you were down there.
Yeah, Southeastern Truck Nationals. Yeah, that's a big show. Yeah,
we were down there last year.
And yeah, we did make it down this year. Had other commitments we had to do.
Yep.
And hopefully we can get back down there next year, though.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a good show.
Definitely.
Oh, it's a killer show. Yeah, for sure.
So how did United by Trucks come about? I mean, where did the idea of the spark come for that?
Yeah, well, I think I've got to sort of even take it back a little bit before I started the channel. So, I have been into, I actually started out in the mini truck and scene, which is where, you know, a lot of folks who are my age and into classic trucks and into classic vehicles now, they started probably with a mini truck. My first truck was a 96 S10. My first classic was a 67 C10 short bed step side that I got when I was 18. So that kind of set in motion, me just loving these trucks and being into these trucks. And I took a little bit of time off when I was in college, but as I got a little bit older, I got a little more financially stable. I thought, hey, I should get another truck and get back into this, that, you know, something that I really love. So about a year and a half ago, I started just a simple, super basic YouTube channel called Whitlock Garage. And it's called Whitlock Garage because of the area that I live in. So I'm currently at home right now, and the area I live in is called Whitlock Heights. And I was living in a different house at the time, but just doing simple mods because I'm no welder, I'm no fabricator, anything like that. I was just doing simple bolt-on stuff that I could do in my garage, and then getting together with my friends to do the more, advanced stuff. We all seem to bring a different types of skills together, as most friends do.
Right.
In the garage. And so the channel kicked off in November of 2018 as Whitlock Garage. And I started just feeling this sense of unity around trucks. I mean, everywhere as the channel began to grow, people were telling us how we were inspiring them to do things in their own garage and inspiring them to start, you know, YouTube channels. And the tagline "United by Trucks" started to work its way into my little intro on the YouTube channel.
Wow. Okay.
After about 6 or 8 months, I just thought, I don't need to be calling this thing Whitlock Garage. This thing needs to be called United by Trucks, because that encompasses everything that we're doing. So that's how United by Trucks was born, and it has literally been UBT ever since.
Nice.
Very cool.
That's great evolution story, and that works out great. I mean, it's got a great ring to it, and it shows how people come together, especially in the truck community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think you see it, you know, you've got the first gen Camaros, you've got, you know, those were strong and have been strong for, you know, 30 years now. And right. I think we're really starting to see that the classic trucks, whether it's, you know, pre-47 all the way up through, you know, even the OBSs and even newer model trucks. I mean, I have a love for newer model trucks as well, particularly as it relates to Duramax powered trucks. Mm-hmm. So I think you're seeing a lot of that community that you've seen, you know, first gen Camaro or pick your other classic car community, you're seeing all that form around classic trucks. And I think there's going to be a pretty significant longevity, you know, that 30, 40, 50 year time frame that right. people are going to be really into these trucks. It may last forever, but you know, there's such a sure. fervor and there's such sure. a passion around them right now. And we've been, you know, seeing that for probably the last 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
Well, I know you said your first truck was a mini truck.
Yeah.
if you want to certainly take us back to that and talk us through to now. I mean, if you can.
Yeah. So I have no idea what number of trucks I've owned since that time.
I've
owned somewhere between 15 and 20 right now in all various conditions. Right. But the very first truck that I got was a 1996 regular cab, short bed, pretty base model truck, but it had bucket seats and a 4.3 with a 4L60E in it.
Okay.
So that little thing would fly. I mean, me and a buddy could lift up the rear end, so it would just blow the tires off anytime we, you know, got in it, which is, I'm sure my parents didn't expect that when they were buying this, for, you know, helping me get this when I was 15 years old. But
right.
As my dad took me to more mini truck shows and more classic truck shows, I really figured out that I liked a lowered truck or a truck that has, you know, a good stance and a great wheel and tire package. That's really kind of how everything started with me. And that's how I think about trucks right now. So the very right. first thing I look at when I walk up on a truck or I'm considering buying a truck is thinking about that wheel and tire package and the stance. You know, what am I going to do to the suspension, if anything, but what am I going to do to the suspension to make it something I want? So that 96 S10, that was my first truck. We got it lowered down. I think we lowered it, you know, 3.5 or something like that. Did a spindle up front and did a block. Yeah, I think we did a block and I can't even remember in the rear. They're leaf sprung trucks. I don't think we flipped it though. Anyway, so got it lowered pretty nicely and put a set of 17-inch Eagle alloys on it. So sure. that was kind of the hot wheel back then. I think there were 212s.
Right.
That was kind of the hot wheel back then that, you know, a young person could afford, or, you know, that was kind of your middle of the road without getting into right. bullets. So we put Flowmasters on it and, you know, just tried to modify it, you know, as any young person would do to their first vehicle sure. on a limited budget. So
right.
thankfully my parents believed in my passion and would help me out where they could. And mm-hmm. that really made a difference. And then from that point forward, it has progressed more into the classic truck side of the world. Like mm-hmm. I said, I got that 67 C10 when I was 18, paid $1,000 for it. I couldn't even drive a 3 on the tree. My dad drove it home. Now think about buying a 1967 complete C10 that is running and driving short bed for $1,000.
Wow. Could
yeah.
do that. You can do that now if you beat somebody over the head and took it. So it is – That shows you right there that the how the times have changed over the last, I mean, that's been when I'm 36. So that's been 18 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The prices and interest has jumped exponentially.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
It is crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yep. So you was talking about your dad taking you to mini truck shows and stuff. Is that kind of what got you into cars and trucks?
Absolutely. Yeah. That is the single thing that got me into cars and trucks. Mm-hmm. When I got the S10, I actually wanted, and I'm sure all my truck friends are going to beat me over the head for this, but I wanted a 64 and a half Mustang. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted.
Sure.
They bought me a truck and I was like, I'm not really interested in that, but this is what I have to play with. So that's when I began, you know, saving up money and trying to make it happen. But my dad and a good friend of mine, Zach Zimmerman, we spent a lot of time going to, whether it was Nopi Nationals or the mini trucking show at Atlanta Motor Speedway, mm-hmm. or even just your local cruise in my hometown of Cedartown, Georgia, mm-hmm. which is, I live about an hour away from there now. We would just go to those local cruise ins and I'd look at mini trucks because that was what I was working with at the time. But when I saw a C10, particularly a 67 to 72 C10, mm-hmm. that was icing on the cake for me. That was everything that, you know, that I was interested in from that point forward. So, unfortunately, the summer that I bought that truck, like many do,
right.
I brought it home, that 67 C10 I'm talking about. Yeah. The summer that I bought that truck, brought it home, friend of mine got it in the garage, we tore it all to pieces, I went off to college, and ultimately sold it in pieces. So that's something I wish had not happened. I wish I still had that truck. I wish I'd, you know, knew then what I know now.
Right.
But it still was that spark to really say, hey, once I get through college, once I'm able to do this the way I want to do it, mm-hmm. I know what I want. Mm-hmm. So
any influences or mentors or people that have kind of helped you get along to where you are now?
Oh gosh, there's a very long list of people that have helped me get here. Like I said, my dad, Zach Zimmerman, those are two of my hometown friends that really sort of nurtured, you know. Zach gave me my first ride in a lowered square body. He had one that was just flat out on the ground and 15 inch torque thrust, the hopped up 350. That was my first ride in a C10. But I got folks now like Brian Harrison, you know, mm-hmm. Harrison's Rod and Custom,
cool
Jesse
dude.
Vaughn up at Level 7, who's more on the, you know, on the racing pro touring side.
Yep.
Those are people who are doing great things and I'm trying to learn from them, obviously, because, you know, in a lot of instances, yep. I end up being the guy with the camera or I end up being the guy with the wrench, but not the guy with the welder or not the guy who's doing some of the fab work. So that has, the influence that they've had on me over the last couple of years has really been great.
So we always ask our guests, what'd you take your driver's test in? Was it that little S10 that you had?
It was that S10, yes.
Okay.
And the great thing about it is when it came time to parallel park, that thing was so short, I had no problem. I mean, a regular cab short bed S10, that thing was tiny.
Yep.
That's awesome. What kind of trucks you own now? I mean, what's your personal stuff? What are you rolling around in?
So my most recent purchase that I love, and you can actually see the front of it sticking out through that window there, is a 86 Crew Cab C30 that's pretty well original. It's had one repaint, got a little bit of rust down low, mm-hmm. but it's got 70,000 miles on it. I bought it with 68, and I put 2,500 mm-hmm. on it because I've been getting out and driving it over the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
So that is, you know, that's something that I really love this truck. I can throw the family in it. I can hook up my Airstream to it,
right.
or I can hook a trailer to it and go.
Yep.
It's a 454 Turbo 400. Mm-hmm. A couple other trucks that I have here. I've got a Blazer that we call UBTK5, which was a four-wheel drive Blazer that we took and put a two-wheel drive chassis under, airbag chassis. Uh-huh. LS swapped it. It's original paint ish. Uh-huh. And, you know, kind of refurbed it for a big road trip that we did earlier this year.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I think the truck that probably means the most to me, and I'm looking this way because I'm looking literally in my carport right now.
Oh, you
right?
have to.
Yeah, the truck that means the most and really gave me the confidence to start the YouTube channel is a truck I call Teddy, and it's a 68 GMC short bed, heavy patina truck mm-hmm. that we built for Hot Rod Power Tour in 2018.
Okay.
So my dad and I and another friend, Evan Dobbins, actually got in my garage where I started Whitlock Garage and built this thing. Mm-hmm. Ron Folks, who we call TTR, mm-hmm. Rick Cheeseman, and even John Padgett at the time were instrumental in helping me get that truck together. And we did it in 68 days, which is kind of funny, 1968.
Sure, put
it together in 68 days. And then, you know, I drove it around in my neighborhood 5 days before we left. It's LS powered. Mm-hmm. I drove it around 5 days before we left. Didn't even have a bed or a front clip on it. Mm-hmm. We put all that on it, and then I left with my dad on power tour.
Wow.
So that was really the, in 2018, the thing that said, hey, you don't have a lot of all these crazy skills that these people have that are building these unbelievable trucks.
Right.
But you've got enough skills and resources and friends, which is the best part of it.
Sure.
To put something together and it be reliable enough. I've had zero issues out of the truck mm-hmm. ever since we put it together.
A good, good community of people behind you.
Yeah.
That is always helpful. You know, if you don't have the exact hands-on knowledge, you can learn and have somebody help you and just learn while you build the thing.
So Robbie, you was talking about building Teddy for the Hot Rod Power Tour. You said it was pretty reliable throughout that. Do you have any other breakdown stories from previous builds or such?
Yeah.
The super fun stuff, because we usually take something and we'll build it like madmen, drive it around, no parts fall off, and we're on this 200 mile journey. Yeah, you're that dumb like we are?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes, me and all my friends are.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. I think that's probably one of the things that I enjoy the most, and obviously why I want to come talk to you guys about this, but I want to drive my classics. I want them to be built. They need to be functional. They may not be pretty. They may not be, you know, the best parts, but the combination of parts, I need it to be functional.
Right.
And I was talking about the Blazer earlier. Mm-hmm. That's something that we built throughout the end of 19 and then end of 20. Mm-hmm. And then we road tripped it to LST, which is Lone Star Throwdown.
Okay.
So we spent, you know, a little bit of time in 2019 getting the chassis ready for the body to be swapped onto it. And it's an airbag chassis with all AccuAir air management. Mm. It's an LS powered drivetrain as well. But we, for some reason, I don't know why we like to do this, but waited till the last minute, 45 days out from LST, which was in late February, before we decided, hey, we're going to put the body on this thing. We're going to get the interior done right.
Why not?
We're going to, you know, get all the wiring done.
Why not?
Yeah, so it is, and I do not recommend doing it that way, because especially if you're doing it with your friends and you're relying on, you know, this group of people to help you get to the finish line,
right?
Because it wears people out. It wears everybody out.
Sure.
And so anyway, it provides for a great experience, though, in that you don't really have a whole lot of test drive time. So we put this thing together.
Right.
You know, I'm coming off of this, we put Teddy together, this, you know, 68 GMC with a 5.3 and 4060, zero issues. And we did that in my garage. You know, now we have a shop. We have a little bit more, you know, resources at our disposal to help us get these things done a lot more quickly, like a lift. You know, never had a lift before. That was that was pretty awesome. So we put this thing together and leave on I can't even remember exactly what day it was. I think it was Thursday. Mm-hmm. And it's a 14-hour drive to Conroe, Texas, mm-hmm. from Atlanta, Georgia. So we put it together on a Thursday. I had driven it around the Monday before, like actually been out on the road thinking, okay, let's shake it down a little bit, figure out, you know, what might be the hiccups or the impediments to us getting all the way to Texas.
Right.
Didn't have one single issue. So, of course, Thursday morning, we load that thing up, and it is pouring down rain. Mm-hmm. We had partnered with Street Trucks on a big cruise out to LST. So we had a gaggle of trucks waiting on us at the Varsity. And the first thing that happened, we got a half a mile from my house, and Ron, my buddy, we call him TTR, he has an 85 or 84 GMC square body that's been LS swapped, and we did all that on the channel. We call it Pecos.
Sure.
And one of his little O-rings on his fuel rail actually ruptured and started spewing fuel half a mile from my house.
Nice.
So I was like, wow, is this how it's going to start? Yes. It's not necessarily the Blazer we just built, but we're already having, you know, already having issues on a truck that's pretty tried and true and tested.
Uh-huh.
But we get that handled. We're running an hour and 15 minutes late. We get to the Varsity. Everybody's there. Say our hellos, start pulling out. And I get across the intersection in downtown Atlanta from the Varsity and all power. I just lose everything in the Blazer. I mean, everything.
Wow.
And I've got three other people in the Blazer with me, and we've got their trucks everywhere. Right. We're all trying to get on the interstate and do that whole situation.
Yep.
People pulling trailers. So we pull over. There's like 15 people around trying to figure out, you know, what the issue is.
Right.
We start checking fuses. We're purging the fuel system just to make sure some air hadn't got into it.
Right.
Even though it didn't really make sense. And that's kind of what we thought it was in the beginning.
Right.
But a buddy of mine, Wesley, messed around with the fuse box, and it wasn't 30 seconds later, the thing fired up.
No.
I'm like, God, maybe it was the air in the fuel system. So yeah. We were just really unsure.
Right.
Didn't matter though. It was running and we were rolling and we were already running late. So
right.
We took off. We get 11 hours down the road, no issues whatsoever for 11 hours. And we get to, I can't remember the Denham Springs, Louisiana, I believe it is. I think that's the town it was in. Pull over to get gas. It's freezing, which none of us expected. And I don't have heat or AC in this Blazer at this point in time.
Right. 'Cause
that's a nice to have.
Sure.
So we pull over, get gas, you know, get our drinks, whatever we need to do. And I go to start it back up and it won't do anything at all. Didn't have any issues rolling into the gas station, but as soon as I turned it off, you know, so it turns into a 3 or 4 hour ordeal in this gas station with our entire team or the people that stuck with us. Obviously, trucks got separated in that 11-hour process. The people, the core people, the Ricks, the Rons, the Rockies, those folks, Chaz, Sosabe, those folks stayed right there. And we basically solutioned the whole thing under the gas station awning in a parking lot. And basically all it was the fuel pump power wire was too short running into the the relay. And essentially, we just had to extend it. Chaz helped me do that, got it all extended and plugged back in. Mm-hmm. And I haven't had a problem since.
Wow.
But it was that, you know, all of that is under the dash,
yeah.
The computers under there, the relays, the distribution blocks, fuse block, all of that under the dash. And we're literally just, you know, testing wires. And we figured out pretty quickly the fuel pump wasn't coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that led us to just chase down that gremlin. But yeah, that's I think to answer your question in a long way.
Sure.
Yeah, we put stuff together. We want them to be functional, but we hit the road almost as soon as we're done with them because we have, you know, a deadline or a timeline, and we've said, hey, we're going to be here in this.
Yep.
So that 14-hour trip turned into 21 hours, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was grueling. I mean, we had a fun time at LST, but that whole backup of, you know, having that kind of trouble,
right.
It just really made it, you know, we didn't get in time to go to bed early.
Right.
We didn't get in, you know, we got in super late. And everybody's excited, so you get up early, everybody's tired. It was just it made for a little bit more of a grueling trip. And then on the way back, I'll make this short. On the way back, we had bent all the brake lines. It's got brand new brake lines. Mike Howe, my shop partner,
right.
helped me get all that done. And one of the lines that runs into the master cylinder cracked at the flare.
Wow.
And so I lost all my rear brakes.
Uh-huh.
And you know, we're doing 80 miles an hour. This thing's got a 6L80 in it. So it's got a 6-speed in it. You can really wind it out on the interstate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're doing 80 miles an hour. And I was like, as soon as I touched the brakes, I could tell something was different. And I do not mess around when it comes to brakes.
No.
If my brakes do not feel right, you know, you pull over and figure out what it is, even if you got to bleed them right there on the side of the highway.
Right.
So we figured that out, obviously got it fixed and made it on back home. But that was not the success story that Power Tour was.
Yeah, that's a heck of a story. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
So I know you're into trucks. This will be for cars, trucks, whatever. Dream car, dream truck. You currently own, what you don't own, whatever. Money's no object. What's your dream car to get out and drive?
My dream car would be, I actually have two, if I can fudge here a little bit.
Yeah, all right. Yep.
So I want a 32 all steel roadster.
Sure.
Like a Ford 32 Henry Ford steel roadster. Doesn't have to be hopped up. I want it to have a flathead in it. I don't want the small block Chevy situation. I want a flathead. I want it to be Ford. So 32 Ford Roadster would be one that I would love to have. Mm-hmm. And obviously I want it high boy because I want it up on the, on top of the frame rails.
Sure.
I like the way that looks.
Oh yeah.
From that perspective. And then a 55, Bel Air hardtop. And I'll take that in lots of different configurations as long as it's a 55.
Right.
But, those would be my two dream cars. Yeah. I would say that my dream truck, and it's something I don't currently own and have never owned one of them,
right,
would be a 58, 59 short bed fleet side.
Oh, neat.
Chevy truck or GMC.
Yep.
Just because I like the dual headlights or the quad headlights,
yep.
You know, they got two headlights on each side. And that was, I think some of the first years they were putting fleet side, I think 58 or 59 might've actually been the first year they put a fleet side
steel fleet sides. Yes. 57 was first year for a fiberglass
cameo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The cameo.
Yep. Yep.
I knew there was some nuance in there that I didn't quite have right.
Yep. Yeah.
But, yeah. So the 58, 59 with that quad headlight with the steel fleet side bed, big back window, how they wrap around.
Oh yeah.
You know, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's always a tough question for a true car guy to narrow it down to one car.
Right.
I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, John and I talk about it all the time that, you know, any given moment we're building a different car in our head than that's at that moment our dream car.
Right.
You know, and
yeah, absolutely.
People ask us, it's like, well, it depends on what time of the day, what day of the week.
Right.
You know, it's always.
He's always sending me something new from Marketplace. It's like, oh, you got to get this. You know,
yeah, that would be my buddy Barry, who helps us film some stuff, and especially when we do big road trips.
Yeah.
His name's Barry Davison up in Tennessee, but
yeah.
He's the worst. I mean, he sends me something, if not every day, every other day. And
right.
It's always in my area and it's always a good price. And I'm like,
oh, yeah,
you're making me spend all this money.
We were recording a couple of weeks ago and Sean sent me on Marketplace an ad for a truck. And I'm like, this is too cheap, man. There is no way, you know. And I just kind of disregarded it. And Sean said, did you look at that thing? Is that guy's got that truck still up? And I said, yeah. And I messaged him. I mean, we're recording.
Right.
And I messaged the guy in the morning and didn't get nothing back. I'm like, oh, definitely sold. Easy. The guy sent us back that this is, let me see, was probably 3 o'clock on a Sunday. And we're in St. Louis. This truck is like a stone's throw from Missouri border in Arkansas, but it's in Missouri.
Yeah. Yep.
And so it's 5.5 hours away. And the guy's like, oh yeah, I still got this. I turned to my wife and she's like, why are we still recording? Why are we not going to get this truck?
Got this now. Let's get in the truck.
Yes, put this down and go get the truck. So we loaded up the trailer, hauled ass down to this guy's place and picked up a Round Eye 76 C10.
Yeah.
And it was, it still has mud all over the thing. It has, you could not see through the windshield. It is mud, barn dust.
Straight out of the barn.
Yes.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Just a mud farm truck. And from the area, they got paved roads around there somewhere, but I didn't know if we drove on them.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a farm truck, a straight up farm truck.
Yeah. Get there, pick the truck up, get back. Climb into bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, get up and go to work on Monday.
Yeah, get up and go and work on the next day.
But those are the adventures. I mean,
right,
you know, that's
right.
You're sitting here telling me that right now.
Right.
You know, because it's a memory. It's something that has been burned into your brain. And that's what we're about. That's what we're teasing.
That's
making the kind of
we're looking at each other. It's like, we're idiots. We should never do this again.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Tomorrow.
Next weekend, we find another truck.
Right.
Hey, you
want to do this?
Yep, let's go.
We're ready to rock. That's the next truck, the next square body C10 that you'll see on our podcast, on our channel. Its name is General Crustard.
Appropriate name.
It is a dilapidated tan Round Eye 76, and I think it'll do very well.
I think you're right. I was going to, as soon as you mentioned Round Eye 76, I own one of those as well.
Yeah.
That's probably in worse condition than the one you're describing, but sure. It has gotten, you know, it used to be, it was 60 to 66 trucks and then it was 67 to 72s. And you know, I'm really into 6772s, even though I currently own a bunch of square bodies.
Right.
But it has gotten much more difficult to find a barn find or a field find or a clean round eye square body, and even 81 to 87.
But, right.
You know, it has just gotten so much more difficult. And if you do find them, they are $10,000 plus.
Yes.
Which
yes.
used to be able to, I mean, it wasn't 3-4 years ago.
Yep.
That same truck you're describing, mm-hmm. you could probably get it for $1,500.
Yes.
You know, or $2,000.
Very much so.
And it's just a different, so it's just a different time. And I oftentimes, or at least recently,
yeah.
you know, because we put such an emphasis on square bodies and mm-hmm. GM classic trucks, even though we're about more than just GM trucks.
Right.
UBT gets blamed for driving up the prices. And I mean, obviously I think that's ridiculous, but there has become such a spotlight on that style of truck, in particular, the round eye square body, that
yeah.
the prices have just really gone up.
People are watching you and people are seeing what you do and they're buying these trucks and they're flipping them for 10 times the money or whatever. That's your followers.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's great. That means you're making waves and you're doing a good
job. Yeah. That's true. Well, thank you.
That's good.
So you've been to a couple of shows this year. I know I've seen your adventures down at Battle in Bama.
Mm-hmm,
That was also an adventure. Yeah.
They had a little bit of problems with a
with the AC generator.
AC generator.
Yeah, it was. That was a different kind of. That was actually the truck performed flawlessly. It was the
yeah.
It was the camper I was having issues with.
Yeah. How are the shows this year? With all this COVID stuff going on, we've not been able to make it to a lot of shows yet, yeah. but
yeah, and I'll be honest with you, I have struggled with it tremendously.
Right,
you know, we're taking it very seriously in my house.
Right.
You know, we have my wife's parents. You know, we have a lot of there are medically fragile people around us.
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, I get to work from home, whether it's UBT or my actual day job. Mm-hmm. My wife does as well, so we can limit exposure that way. But there was, there's a certain amount of risk that we were willing to assume mm-hmm. to go to some of these shows. And a lot of there have been a lot that we have not gone to. There have been a lot and I continue every single day. I'm asked about a show or if we're coming to it.
Yep.
And we've just taken the strategy. There are a couple of key shows throughout the year. Mm-hmm. We're willing to assume that risk. We wear masks as much as possible,
sure.
hand sanitizer, social distance as much as possible, mm-hmm. but you have a lot of folks at these shows who have entirely different opinions than I do, or mm-hmm. you know, any you know, than the rest of the folks who are there,
mm-hmm.
and do different things, you know, and that's their prerogative, and I'm the one that's entering, you know, that environment with maybe a little bit different opinion or understanding of
right.
Of COVID. So it has. To put it frank, to be frank, it has been a struggle. Mm-hmm. It's something I've toiled with. Mm-hmm. I've even come home from shows and be like, I'm not doing another one this year.
Wow.
You know, just to put it plainly.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I just have to put a little bit more trust in the process and, you know, wear the mask where I can. Obviously I don't do it during interviews or something like that. If I'm filming, you know, an interview at a show, but if I'm in the booth and I'm selling a t-shirt or I'm communicating with somebody, I'm trying not to shake their hand. I've got hand sanitizer everywhere and I'm from the South. I want to shake everybody's hand. I want to hug your neck. You know, I want to do all of that. So that's been a struggle too. But you know, I think our strategy has been pick the key shows that you want to attend, especially from a regional perspective,
right.
and be as safe as possible. You know, right. That's part of the reason I got the camper.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to stay in hotels. I was doing Airbnbs. And we decided, you know, to invest in our Airstream. And so I've been taking that. And Battle in Bama was our first time to take it to a show that we didn't have any hookup. So we had nothing but generators.
Mm-hmm.
And I tested it out at home. Everything worked flawlessly. Everything worked flawlessly for 8.5 hours.
Of course it did.
And in Battle in Bama. And then at 2:30 in the morning, it decided it was not going to work flawlessly anymore.
Of course it did.
So it just kind of set the, you know, it changed the way we had fun and enjoyed that show, I should say.
Gotcha.
True. Future of the industry. I know we talk about evolution and you can no longer buy a $1,500 square body. Where do you see this situation going? And is United by Trucks doing anything with the next generation to get people interested in trucks? Are you doing anything with the next generation and trying to get them involved?
Yeah, so I think I'll tackle the last part first, and yeah. I will say there's so much more that we can all be doing to bring younger people into the mix. But YouTube, podcasts like your own podcast, mm-hmm. that's going to do it. That's where younger people are, especially those who are getting into that college age range and getting a little bit older. They're definitely listening to podcasts and they're watching, you know, their favorite topic on YouTube. Mm-hmm. What I try to do, particularly I had a series called What's in My Driveway, where people would come to my house mm-hmm. who were local to me, and I would film and interview them about their truck. And
right.
I really use that as a spotlight to try to highlight as many young people as I could. Mm-hmm. And even in the Battle in Bama video, I highlighted a young man named Cody Castles, who's got a killer 76, Spirit Edition step side truck that is gorgeous. I try to find, if I have the time and I'm able to, I try to find someone who is young, who's working on their truck with their dad at home, mm-hmm. or just doing it all by themselves,
sure.
or they're paying somebody to do it for them, mm-hmm. but they have an interest in classic trucks and they want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So I think, like I said, I could be doing more, but one way I'm trying to inspire or mm-hmm. trying to motivate is by putting these younger people on camera, sure. and letting them talk about their truck, and it not be just that, it's not always that cookie cutter square body with a 4.5-6 and 20-inch torque dress on it. It's, a broad spectrum, whether it's, Christian Carpenter is a guy I filmed and a good friend of mine. He's got like a 63 long bed Chevy truck. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Cody, who's got the 76 Spirit Edition. Mm-hmm. And then another friend who had a Dodge W150. Yeah, I think that's right. That's the four-wheel drive Dodge mm-hmm. Truck from, mid-70s. So I try to do what I can from a, hey, let's prop them up. Let's lift up the younger generation. Cause I still feel like a young man myself, but mm-hmm. once I get out and go to these shows, I'm like, I'm not the young guy.
Right.
I'm just not. There are guys who are 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 and girls who are out there working on these trucks, building these trucks. And mm-hmm. I want to prop them up as much as I can.
Yeah.
From a future of the industry perspective, I think I touched on this a little bit early on, but I think trucks are here to stay. Mm-hmm. If I have anything to do with it, they will continue to be here, here to stay. But it is, I think we're in that first gen Camaro kind of time frame where we're looking at, closer to a half a century where people are really going to be engaged in trucks.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not talking just about C10s or just about GM trucks. Mm-hmm. There is so much going on in the Ford industry, from F-100s, F-1s, all the Ford trucks.
Yeah.
You're seeing folks like Fat Fender Garage really get in there, and even Arclight, Aaron Kaufman, get in there and try to create products for those who just love Ford trucks. And I've got a 61 unibody myself that I'm super passionate about. Mm-hmm. It's just so foreign to me because I've always worked on GM trucks. I've not really jumped off into messing with it yet, but I've got plans to buy another Ford truck because I like them also. Even though I grew up in a GM sort of environment, Ford trucks are just cool. Ford classic trucks, Dodge. I mean, the swept line Dodges. We've got folks like, I think he goes by Slammed Ram on Instagram.
Okay.
But he built the coolest, I want to say it was a 64 swept line that I have ever seen. Just an original paint, laid out, beautiful chassis work. Mm-hmm. But what you're seeing right now in the GM truck world that is obviously bleeding over into the Ford world, and I really, really hope, and I think it will, that it bleeds over into the Dodge and Mopar side of trucks as well.
Yeah.
So I think in short, future of the industry, it's going to continue to grow from a truck perspective.
Right.
I think you're going to continue to see more and more players in the game, and I think it's here to stay. It's something that's going to be around for the next 30, 40, 50 years.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with you on the Ford trucks. I mean, mm-hmm. I love those things. And I just have this big desire to build mid 60s on a Crown Vic chassis.
Oh yeah.
And daily it. I mean,
oh man.
Yeah. I want to do that so bad I can taste it.
Right. we all have the bad I want.
Yeah.
the KCI wants. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm a GM guy, but I just want one of those real bad.
Oh, yeah. A good friend of mine from the Ford era, his name's Solomon Lunger. He's been affiliated with Street Trucks and Unibody. Was it Unibody Union? Yeah, Unibody Union. Okay. He'll kill me for not getting that right. But Unibody Union, the Ford era, he's had a number of Unibodies that he's done that exact same thing, mm-hmm. where they do the Crown Vic swap on the front end, or they just swap the whole entire frame, floor pan, and everything.
From the Crown Vic.
Just set the body down on it. And they've had really good results with that. And I've actually ridden in one, mm-hmm. And you would have thought it was a stock vehicle. It did not feel like a lowered classic truck. It definitely rode much more like a stock vehicle. Wow. So.
Wow.
That just fuels.
Plenty of ways to get that done right now.
Great. Now you're just adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah, let me get on Marketplace here real quick.
Yeah, right. We'll just take a brief moment, an intermission where we can all get on Marketplace.
Right.
So it seems like all car guys have some sort of extra thing they collect, car-related memorabilia, Hot Wheels. Do you have anything particularly you like to collect?
Other than hubcaps on the automotive side, and I guess, I mean, just a plethora of truck parts that I think I'll need, you know.
Sure.
The trucks I don't even own.
Right.
It is, my wife likes to tell me I have very expensive hobbies.
Oh, yes.
The other one that I have scaled back quite a bit so I can help obviously fund, UBT and all that we're doing here, but it was guitars. I play guitar. Wow. I played guitar since I was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And not only do I, I have these expensive hobbies and I want, and think I need sometimes the most expensive guitar. Right. But I have scaled that back quite a bit. Guitars would have to be it. If I had to name another thing that I was really interested in and also takes, quite a bit of money. But I put trucks ahead of guitars right now.
Is everything across the board the same now? All of our listeners can get a hold of you, get in touch with you, and view your channel and follow you on social media. Go ahead and plug away.
Yeah, so it's United by Trucks on YouTube, United by Trucks on Facebook, Instagram. Those are the three platforms we're the most active on, but it's United by Trucks all the way across.
Okay.
On Instagram, it's United_by_trucks, that whole confusing thing.
Sure.
But it's United by Trucks all the way across the board. When I changed it over from Whitlock Garage to United by Trucks, I put a poll out there asking, my viewers and the audience that watches what we do, what their thoughts were. And it was overwhelmingly change it all to UBT. So that's what we do.
But had a fun time talking with you today. And hopefully we'll stay in touch. And when you come to St. Louis, we'll hang out for a little while.
Yeah,
that'd be great. I'd love to catch up. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Thanks for spending time with us today.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hey, Robbie, what drives you?
Cruising down a back road in my 68 GMC about 65 miles an hour with the windows down.
Hey, John, as car guys, we're always looking for the next project.
Always keep your eyes peeled.
Next big thing, either looking on social media looking for something, or sometimes you just drive out in the back roads and find what everybody calls a barn find. That's kind of the big thing that everybody wants to find, something that's been put away for 30-40 years.
Right
And next episode we're going to be talking to Ryan Brutt, known as Auto Archaeologist. This is what he's done for a long time. He just travels the back roads and finds all these cars that's been sitting for 30, 40 years. I mean, Hemi cars, collector cars, big cars.
Right.
So that'll be an interesting episode to chat with him.
Sure.
And hopefully everybody will tune in and listen to his story along with us.
I think it'll be great. I am John, Custom Car Nerd and Meyer. You can follow me at Custom Car Nerd on Instagram.
And I'm Sean, Mr. Sedan Man Cheryl. You can follow me on Instagram at Mr. Sedan Man.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Like, share, give us your comments. Tag us on Twitter at Get Out and Drive Pod.
What drives you?